And you see, that's what God wants to do in us. He wants to take that caterpillar, take us through that metamorphosis, take us through that cocoon stage, clean up all of that stuff that's in the middle, and make us fresh and new in His presence.
The church is one foundation.
Foundations for Living is the radio ministry of Van Buren United Methodist Church and is underwritten by our friends at Fincannon Ford in Hartford City. We are happy you tuned in, and we invite you to be our guest as we listen to Reverend Cindy Osgood, pastor of Van Buren United Methodist Church, and we explore together Foundations for Living.
Good morning. Welcome to the Van Buren United Methodist Church.
We've been talking about the cross the last few weeks, and this morning I was going to sort of add to that image with the theme of butterflies. So I need you to do something for me this morning. I need you to use your best imagination this morning, and I want you to think about that last caterpillar you saw. Now, that's not that one that's yellow with four wheels that moves earth. Not that one. But that little one that lasts about that long, and they come in different colors, and then they go into a little thing called a chrysalis or a cocoon, and out of that cocoon comes a very, very beautiful butterfly. I need you to collect in your image this morning while you're sitting there thinking. Think about the caterpillar you want to create in your mind, and think about the butterfly that you want to have come out of that. And we'll get back to that. So see, that's a teaser for you to think about what the sermon's going to be about, because we're going to talk about reconciliation, reconciling ourselves back unto Jesus Christ through the cross of Christ this morning. And we are the people who make that happen in our own lives and in the lives of others. Part of how we reconcile is by reaching out to other people and sharing with them the message of the cross. So let's begin together for worship as we share together in music and song and prayer and the message this morning as we celebrate the glorious resurrection of Jesus Christ. This is based from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 6, and Colossians 1, 15 to 20. This is the good news which we have received and in which we stand and by which we are saved. Christ died for our sins, was buried, was raised on the third day, and appeared first to the women. Christ then appeared to Peter and the 12, and then to many faithful witnesses. We believe Jesus is the Christ, the anointed one of God, the firstborn of all creation, and the firstborn from the dead, in whom all things hold together, in whom the fullness of God was pleased to dwell by the power of the Spirit. Christ is the head of the body, the church, and by the blood of the cross reconciles all things to God. Amen. You need to start imagining that caterpillar and that butterfly that I mentioned earlier. I want to share with you this morning after out of a different translation this morning, coming out of the Common English Bible this morning, 2 Corinthians 5, 11 through 6, 2. So we try to persuade people, since we know what it means to fear the Lord. We are well known by God, and I hope that in your heart we are well known by you as well. We aren't trying to commend ourselves to you again. Instead, we are giving you an opportunity to be proud of us so that you could answer those who take pride in superficial appearance and not in what is in the heart. If we are crazy, it's for God's sake. If we are rational, it's for your sake. The love of Christ controls us because we have concluded this. One died for the sake of all, and therefore all died. He died for the sake of all so that those who are alive should live not for themselves, but for the one who died for them and was raised. So then, from this point on, we won't recognize people by human standards. Even though we used to know Christ by human standards. So that isn't how we know him now. So then, if anyone is in Christ, that person is part of the new creation. The old things have gone away, and look, the new things have arrived. All these new things are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ, and who gave us the ministry of reconciliation. In other words, God was reconciling the world to himself through Christ by not counting people's sins against them. He has trusted us with the message of reconciliation. So we are ambassadors who represent Christ. God is negotiating with you through us. We beg you as Christ's representatives, be reconciled to God. God caused the one who didn't know sin to be sin for our sake, so that through him we could become the righteousness of God. Since we work together with him, we are also begging you not to receive the grace of God in vain. For from Isaiah we hear these words. God says, I listened to you at the right time, and I helped you on the day of salvation. Look, now is the right time. Look, now is the day of salvation. This is the word of God for the people of God. Well, I had an experience one time with reconciliation. After my mother passed away, I went through a period of time where I was on about a month leave. I just really didn't care whether school kept or not. And I also discovered in that time that I had had a multiple series of losses. I actually counted them up one day and was frankly alarmed about how many there were. I'd lost track of how many there ended up. I think there were about 12 or 14 that occurred over about a 2-year span of time. And then my mother dying just sort of added to that. And it just sort of left me at a point of what I call stoop-shoulderedness. I just was kind of like, the world was just sort of pressing in on me, and it just felt really awful. And at that time, I was working with a young lady doing some spiritual mentoring, and we had some conversation, and out of that conversation resulted in a period of leave. Well, during that time, I learned shortly toward the end of that, that one of my congregants at that particular time was unhappy with me. Now, we all know what can happen when folks get unhappy with the pastor. Sometimes they do the walking dance. They just walk out the door and you never see from them, you never hear from them again, they just leave because they're unhappy. Fortunately, in this case, that didn't happen. This young lady continued to pray for me and pray for our ministry in Elwood. When I learned this, I kept thinking, and this was this little gal, she's not any bigger than a minute, wouldn't hurt a flea, and I wouldn't have hurt her any more than I would hurt any one of you. And I couldn't imagine what I could have said to her that would have been so devastating to her. But there was one thing that went through my mind, and I thought, but surely that wasn't it. Back up the story a little bit. Back in January, before all this, we had had a loss of a young boy, 16 years of age. He and his brother were in a car and went across the railroad track. Could have both easily been killed. Fortunately, they weren't. Just one of them was. And about that time was the time that the book, 40 Days of Purpose. What was that? That's not the right title. But you got the idea. Rick Warren book. Big, big book at that time. And we were having a discussion around that book. And this little lady said to me one night, she said, oh, wouldn't it be wonderful if all kinds of people started coming to the church because of so-and-so's death? And I just looked at her and I said, no, that wouldn't be a good thing. And she repeated that to me again. And again, I said, no, that wouldn't be a good thing. And not once, not twice, but three times I said, no, that wouldn't be a good thing. My rationale being that I don't want them to come just because of that at that particular time. And that tells you a little bit about where my mind was at that time. And so turned out that was exactly the thing that I had offended her with. And she was upset and had been upset for some time. And so after I got back, I went to her and I said, can we have a talk? Went back into my church office and we had a conversation. And I said to her, I am very sorry. I said, we didn't understand each other. We had a mixed communication. I said, will you forgive me? And she said, yes. And I said, I apologize. And so we had a moment of reconciliation. We were able to get past that thing that divided us and that caused this problem. And so we were able to move forward from that point. And we all have those moments where we need to reconcile ourselves with one another around something, or we need to reconcile ourselves to God. But maybe we need to go back for a minute and think about what is reconciliation. Now, it's not just reconciling your checkbook, but it's about restoring harmony or relationships or friendships between people. Have you ever had a relationship, a friendship that's gone awry because of something that you've said or done that's out there on the edge? And sometimes they're not able to be restored. You know, in my days of AA, there's one of the steps in AA that says, you know, where it's appropriate and where you can, you should restore it. Sometimes there's ones that you just better off leave where they are and not make those up. But we should still go to God and ask for reconciliation at the same time. Make consistent an idea with reality. You know, sometimes when we struggle with loss, we have to get to grips with, is this really happening to me? Is this really happening? And make consistent what's happening, what I think is happening in my mind, with what has really happened. And sometimes that's hard to do. Accept something that was previously unpleasant. We've had things in our life that haven't been so fun, haven't been so wonderful, but we still have to accept them. Perhaps a loss of a job, perhaps a change in our relationship with someone. That was not pleasant. We have to reconcile ourselves to that. Well, here's where the butterfly comes in. I want you to think about this for a minute. Now, have you got that image in your head of that nice little colorful wiggly little caterpillar? You see, we all were an egg at one time in our mother's womb. And then we became a beautiful creature. We didn't become caterpillars, but we became creatures created by God. And we lived in that state for a while. And some of us still think we're that beautiful creation that God made us, that never did anything wrong, is just the way it is, and that's the way we want to live. But yet, God understood that that was not the way it was. Even in our beautiful state as that caterpillar, we made mistakes. We did things wrong. We messed up. And so we needed to become something different. We needed to become something better. And so God allowed and created a way for a metamorphosis to occur, for a chrysalis to occur, for us to wind up in a cocoon and become a new creation. Now that new creation process takes us through a lot of process. It means we have to deal with things. And I don't know about you, but sometimes that pruning and that shaping and that dealing stuff isn't a lot of fun, is it? It means we have to ask for forgiveness. It means we have to ask other people forgiveness. It means we have to reconcile ourselves with other people. It means we have to change things in our lives. But you see, in order for us to become a new creature as God created us, 2 Corinthians says it so well, "Behold, the old has passed away, and behold, the new has come, and everything that was is gone and passed away and is no more." And so in the midst of that cocoon, in the midst of that ugly thing that's there in the middle, which sometimes that's how we feel about ourselves, when we're not living up to what God wants us to be, who God wants us to be, we don't feel very pretty at times. We've all had those things. You know, you've had teenagers in your lives that go through that awkward stage. "I'm not pretty, Mother. I'm not doing that. I don't want to do that. I'm not very happy with myself." You've been through all that. You know what that's like. And we feel that same way at times. We're unlovely. We're unacceptable. We're afraid. But in the midst of that, God is working in us, helping us to understand what He's doing in our life, if we understand our relationship with God. For God was the ultimate and is the ultimate reconciler, taking us from what was to what will become. And slowly out of that small, enclosed cocoon emerges this miraculous, amazing butterfly that started out as a wiggly, squirmy worm. Caterpillar, and emerges into something that is winged in flight and flies and makes us wonder at the ability of it to do what it does. And it, unfortunately, it doesn't have a very long lifespan. But while it lives, it's beautiful. And it's amazing how that can become this over here. And you see, that's what God wants to do in us. He wants to take that caterpillar, take us through that metamorphosis, take us through that cocoon stage, clean up all of that stuff that's in the middle. Help us to deal with those places where we're out of relationship, out of sync with others, out of sync with God, and make us fresh and new in His presence. We're aware that resurrection is about that. Resurrection is about metamorphosis. Jesus died upon the cross, died a cruel death. They put Him in a cocoon. They put Him in that small hole, a place that no one had ever used. He went into that tomb as a bruised and battered and tormented and tortured gentleman, guarded so that He couldn't escape because they were afraid of what He might do. He had told them, "I will die and in 3 days I'll rise again." And they were worried about that. Well, they put guards at the tomb, but even God could overcome guards and He could overcome death. And out of that tomb emerged the risen, resurrected, transformed body of God in the form of His Son, Jesus Christ, the resurrected one, who would appear and be with other people to share the rest of the story. That we might understand that God wants to reconcile us. We are the ambassadors of what God wants to do in this day and in this time. What is your story? What is your story of reconciliation? What is your story of metamorphosis? What is your story of resurrection? How will you share that with others? How will you share with them that God wants to reconcile them? Because we're called to be the reconcilers with and for others to Jesus Christ. For God called each of us to minister. God called each of us to be ambassadors. God called each of us to be reconcilers to the world for the cause of Christ. Keep this image of a butterfly in your head as I close with prayer. Lord, we are blown away that you call each of us to minister to the world with you. Thank you for the reconciling work of Jesus Christ that you have done and are doing in each of us. It allowed each of us to be called your child. Empower us to point others toward a restored, reconciled relationship with you, and give us the words that persuade others that we meet of your love for them as well. Turn us from caterpillars into cocoons, and then into beautiful butterflies for you. Amen. Colorful, magical, imaginative butterflies. Take that color, take that story, take that journey with you out into the world and share it with those you meet this week that they might become ambassadors and reconciled to God as you are, that they might experience the power of Christ in their life as you have as well. Go in peace this day and love God always. Amen.
The church is one foundation, is Jesus Christ her Lord.
We want to thank you for being a part of Foundations for Living this morning and remind you that every Sunday morning at 9:30, we meet in the sanctuary at the Van Buren United Methodist Church. We would love to have you come and be a part of us here in Van Buren, or join us on the air again next week with Foundations for Living. Also, you may hear this and other messages on our website at vanburenumc.org.
Elect from every nation, yet one for all the earth. Earth charter of salvation, one Lord, one faith, one birth, one holy name.
You have been listening to Foundations for Living, a presentation of the Van Buren United Methodist Church, underwritten by Finn Cannon Ford of Hartford City.